people of our church heard the deadly buzz of the mosquito, and we said, enough. We've responded with our hearts. We've responded with our work. We've responded with our generosity and our creativity. We are acting like disciples of Jesus Christ, and we are bringing transforming healing and hope to and with and for our neighbors.
The money that has been donated to Imagine No Malaria has been used to provide bed nets. It's been used to drain standing water that breeds mosquitoes. It's helped provide infrastructures and medical centers so that they can achieve that help.
I got to go to a family's home and help them hang their nets. There I met a little boy who met us at the doorway and was a little suspicious about us. As he saw his mom warm up to us, he decided that we might be worth trusting. We got to pray with his family and hang nets above their beds and really celebrate the work that we were doing together. And as we were leaving, the community health volunteer who was with us, she leaned over to me and she said, "Torai, his name, do you know what it means?" And she told me that his name means speak up. And every day I think of that picture of Torai that I have, who is now living and thriving because of a simple net above his bed, because he had access to care.
Malaria is preventable,
treatable,
and beatable.
So let's finish the job.
And we can finish this together.
World Malaria Day, and so we are doing Imagine No Malaria as our mission box. $10 buys a mosquito net that saves a life. And so I encourage you this morning as you leave to stop by one of the five mission boxes at the back of the worship center and generously give to this morning's mission box. So that's our announcements. That's our mission box. Time now for this tradition we have at Trinity. We hope that everyone who comes here feels this way. But welcome home. Why are we here? Let us worship God together.
Thank you.
Please remain standing as you are able, and as an act of worship, let us declare our faith using the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended to the dead. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
As we go to God with our joys and concerns, I wanted to share with you the names of those that are currently in the hospital, rehab, or elsewhere that our care team is visiting. I also want to just point attention real quick to the altar flowers, and they were given this morning by Jim and Linda Cook. But what I wanted to point out was their note, praise God for the many healing prayers offered by the people of Trinity. I just wanted to share with you that as we go out as a care team and visit with people, they tell us constantly that they can feel your prayers. They sense you praying for them and God abiding with them because of your prayers. So keep praying. It is a vital part of our ministry together as a community. If you or a loved one would like to be visited by our care team, please make sure to let me know by phone call, by email, by the Connect card. You can see me after the service. Because of the HIPAA laws and regulations, that is the only way that we will know to go visit you. So please, please let us know. I also want to make sure that we're remembering all those who are undergoing cancer treatments, who are homebound, who are in harm's way, or have given us other prayer requests. Each and every week, there's an updated list in our narthex that you can take with you. And if you have prayer concerns that you would like to be added to that, please use the Connect card today to let us know about that. In addition, we want to remember our mission team that is in El Salvador right now. They have gone back to the same community that they visited in January, and they are drilling a second well there based on your generosity at Easter. So thank you for that, and remember them in your prayers. I know that each of you have your own joys and concerns that you want to take to God in prayer. So let's join our hearts together, and let us pray. Loving God, whose mercies have greeted us anew with the rising sun, we offer our praise that is due your holy name. During these months of transition, we invite your Holy Spirit to guide and sustain us. Bless the Johnsons as they prepare for Dr. Dan's retirement, the Prices as they are in the midst of moving, and us as a church, may we be open to the movement of your Holy Spirit. For all who suffer physically, emotionally, or spiritually, we pray for their healing. May your presence bring them comfort and peace as you lead them on paths of wellness and wholeness. And may we continue to be a community that surrounds them with loving care and constant prayer. For all those who are weary, grieving the loss of a loved one or fractured relationships, the loss of employment or a dream, we ask that your grace fill them with living water that quenches their deepest thirst and bring them an assurance of your abiding love. For all those whose lives have been devastated by terrorism, natural disaster, or violence in any form, we ask, Holy Spirit, for your protection and intercede on their behalf, that you pave a way for their welfare. For our mission team that is serving in El Salvador, we pray for blessings upon their work And may this well provide water that nourishes both body and soul for all in this community. Lord, continue to mold and shape us in this worship service and throughout our week to come as we seek to become the people that you have fully created us to be. As we say together the words that Jesus taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you, Chancel Choir. Now, in the Chancel Choir, there's a young lady named Maddie. Maddie, would you stand? Maggie. Thank you. Maggie's been with us 3 or 4 years. She's graduating from UF with honors, and you're taking a job somewhere. Disney World, are you? Oh, good. Are you going to be singing? Communications. Maggie, thank you for your service there, and we're glad to have you here. And we were in Nashville this past weekend, so Mila, I didn't get to hear the La Boheme Opera. Could you sing just a couple? No. Oh, okay. Now, we also have some first-time guests here that I met earlier. Let's see if I can get the name right. Wait a minute. I can't get it. Ross? What? Rothfoss. The Rothfoss is right here. Tell me your first name. Peter? Mindy? Lucy. Lucy's in seventh grade. There, see the lady raising her? That's Erin, and she leads Sunlight. So I told her all about. Anybody else here for the first time, sort of new among us, would you just tell us, raise your hand. Don't be shy. We'd like to greet you. Oh, come on. I know you're out there. It's just, okay. At any rate, greet. Now, at the end of the service, somebody said the other day they came to church, nobody greeted them. Don't let that happen here, okay? Greet everybody as you leave. Make people feel welcome. Ushers, where are you? Oh, come on down, would you? And we'll receive our morning offering while the exaltation ringers ring. Is the gift to be simple? Is that a simple gift? And I don't know how she does it. Alice, the first service, directed everything from the front, and now she directs and plays. And that's what you do. That's really amazing. All right. Thank you all for being here all morning. It's a joy. Pray with me. Oh, God, we give you thanks for each person that's come here today, and pray that your Spirit will continue to speak to each of our hearts, and that each one will feel enveloped in the love of Christ. We thank you for the simple gifts and for musings and for the joy it brings. And we ask now your blessings upon these gifts. We give back to you in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. Thank you, Ann Bells. Is this the last time I'll get to hear you all play? One more? Oh, good. How many of you have ever said to a preacher, me or another preacher, or thought of saying it? Don't raise your hand. This is a rhetorical question. How many of you have ever thought of saying, since you only work one day a week, if I had a dime for every time somebody said that to me, I'd be a wealthy man. So I titled this sermon, A Week in the Life of a Minister. So that's kind of where we're going. But before we do, let's read the scripture together, or I'll read it and you read along. Paul stood up in the middle of the council on Mars Hill and said, "People of Athens, I see that you are very religious in every way. As I was walking through town and carefully observing your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription to an unknown God." Now notice what Paul's doing. He's finding what means something to them and taking that and filling it with other meaning. "I even found an altar with an inscription to an unknown God. What you worship is unknown. I now proclaim to you, God, who made the world and everything in it, is the Lord of heaven and earth. He doesn't live in temples made with human hands. Nor is God served by human hands as though he needed something, since he's the one who gives life and breath and everything else. From one person, God created every human nation to live on the whole earth, having determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their land. God made the nations so they would seek him, perhaps even reach out to him and find him. In fact, God isn't far away from any of us. In God, we live and move and have our being. Or as this version says, in God we live, move, and exist. Some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring." May God add his blessing to this reading of God's word. So, a life in the week of a minister. Well, we don't have time to go into all the enormous amount of work that Aaron and Lenora and I do here. But I'm going to start with Saturday and come to this Saturday and just talk about that just a little bit. This past Saturday, as many of you know, Jan and I and our whole family were in Nashville, Tennessee for the wedding of our niece, Jan's niece. And 2 years ago, Stephanie said, "Uncle Dan, would you marry me?" And in Nashville, Tennessee, I said, "Sure, I'd be honored, it'd be great, I'd love to do it." A few months ago, she said, "By the way, it's going to be at the Hard Rock Cafe." That's when I realized I'm just too old for this job anymore. Any rate, actually, the deal is it was really, really a very special event. Our two granddaughters were in the wedding, and it was on the Hard Rock. I don't know if you've ever been to Nashville, if you've been downtown. There's lots of alcohol going on downtown. Lots of people stand on rooftops and drink. I don't quite know why that is. So we were on the rooftop of the Hard Rock Cafe for this wedding. And I'm thinking and praying, "God, help me make this a sacred, special time. Let's connect with them." And I didn't know much about the groom. So I asked brides and grooms, "Tell me a little bit about yourselves. And what is it about the other person you want to spend the rest of your life with?" And I didn't get much back. And so I'm really grasping for straws, and Jan is praying really hard. I'm serious, she's praying really hard. And I learned that the groom proposed to her, Stephanie, at the Masters golf tournament. He loves the Masters, goes about every year. And so I felt led by God to come up with this little homily that I'm going to expand now on how the Masters of marriage are alike. Masters in marriage are like, or the masters in any special relationship, or particularly our relationship with God, how the masters and our relationship with a special person, a married partner, or God, is like the masters. Jim Nance, at each master's showing, says, "It's a tradition unlike any other." And I invited Damon and Stephanie to consider that their marriage, it's a tradition unlike any other. It has this rich, rich heritage. And I'll mention four or five things that are parallels with your relationships and the masters. First is, with a lot of hard work, you can create something beautiful. With a lot of hard work, you can create something beautiful. Augusta National, the Masters, doesn't come about. The most beautiful event in golf doesn't come about by lackadaisical effort. I mean, they work really hard. I understand they put piping under the greens so that they get the temperatures just right. They put piping under the azalea bushes. So if it's too hot, they make it colder. If it's too cold, they make it warmer so that they blossom at the right time for the Masters. It's amazing. And years ago, I had a sales job that said, look, if you work it hard, it's easy. If you work it easy, it's hard. And so it is in life. So it is in our relationship to God. If you give it attention and focus and you work at it and you give God God's rightful place, glorious things happen. Same with relationships. Same with your business. All of those things that go together. The second thing I noticed at the Masters is, and I've talked to other people, because somebody gave us tickets 10 years ago, 12 years ago. Four of us, we went on Thursday. Never once did I see a piece of paper on the ground. Never once did I see a piece of paper on the ground. I'm sure it was thrown down, but somebody picked it up right away. Wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't it be great if all that litter that we sometimes leave around, or those socks, or those towels that your husband leaves, wouldn't it be great if we pick it up right away? Or the litter, or the baggage, the stuff that we lay there and we don't know what to do about it, and it accumulates and it gets festering and gets smelly and it can erode what we're about. Pick it up right away. The third thing I noticed about the Masters when I was there was there were no cell phones were allowed. They don't want somebody to, when somebody's having their backstroke or when they're getting ready to putt. Now, cell phones are a wonderful thing. I've got one in my pocket. One of you's waiting for a call. If it rings, that's all right, Peggy. You could go and take it. It's a wonderful thing. But there are times when we just need to disconnect, isn't there? Aren't there? You all have seen it. Maybe you've done it. You're sitting across, husband and wife, sitting across each other at the restaurant, and they're both on their cell phones. Not really communicating. Do you have a time when you disconnect? Or, as I mentioned in the Daily Scripture email this week, do you have a time or multiple times during the day where you be still and connect with God? You be still, connect with God. You breathe God in and just reorient your thinking, refocus. How important that is. To take time where you unplug from other things and connect with the person who's dear and dear to you and with God Himself. No cell phones at the Masters. Another thing is the importance of tradition. Augusta National, it is a tradition unlike any other. And this tradition mainly has its very positive parts. And so is marriage. Has its tremendous tradition. It's how God intended to shape us and take off the rough edges and puts us with somebody unlike us and makes us different, and it's hard work, and it's beautiful. It can become beautiful. It's a tradition. This past Saturday, yesterday evening in the chapel, we had the beautiful wedding. And Rich, every time anybody's in the chapel, they're just amazed at the beauty of the chapel and what it says to them. And so it was Britt McGriff, son of Lee and Margie McGriff. Some of you know them. And Megan Dover. And I asked them, what is it about the other that you want to spend the rest of your life with him? And Megan said this about Britt. Britt is honest. He's like a rock in his honesty. He would never lie to me, and he would never cheat on me. It's powerful. Because that's a rare commodity, I think, in today's self-expressive society. It gave her a tremendous sense of trust. And I don't know Lee and Margie that well. We live in the same neighborhood, but my sense is it was a tradition. As the Psalm 16 says, my boundary lines have fallen in pleasant places. I have a goodly heritage. And Lee, who I see as quiet strength, passed on to Britt. They'll pass on to their children and their children's children. You and I have the opportunity to nurture tradition in the lives of those who come after us. There's another thing about golf. That is, just like marriage and just like a relationship with God, we have our trials and we have our triumphs. And sometimes we're flying high, and sometimes we crash at the bottom, and we have a hard time finding our way. That's true in golf. You can have a string of birdies. You can get a hole in one you can be high as a kite, and then you can quadruple bogey. At this last Masters, Jordan Spieth, who won the Masters last year, and was leading from Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. You know what happened? On the 12th hole, Amen Corner, Rays Creek, small green, he hits his first shot into the water. Takes the next shot, hits it in the water. Everybody is just passing out. We're all rooting for Jordan Spieth. He gets a quadruple bogey. That means for a par three, he got a seven, dropped back to second or third place. Now, here's the interesting thing about that. The newspapers that day, the commentators that way, people couldn't talk about the sort of falling apart on the 12th green, 12th hole. The next day, Jordan Spieth blows it. Tragedy. They forget that he was leading. On Thursday, he was leading on Friday, he was leading on Saturday. Now, it's a human flaw that if we have 99 things going right, if your spouse does 99 things right and does one thing wrong, what is that? We focus on that, we get obsessed with that, or about ourselves. Instead of celebrating, somebody told me out after the last service, I'm going to focus on the 99 positive things instead of the one tragedy or the one negative thing. Let's reorient our perspective. There are going to be trials and there are going to be triumphs. We're going to end up in Rays Creek sometimes. And it's important to know that Rays Creek's there. It's a beautiful, serene place. It's wonderful. It's beautiful to look at. It's wonderful on this TV unless your ball's in there. And just knowing it's possible to go in there gives you pause about how you play the game or how you live your life. That we are all fragile human beings and we have temptations. And if we're naive about it, we're going to end up there. If we're wise about it, we can hopefully get there. But that leads you to the final point about the comparison. And the best golfers are ones who recover well. The best golfers are the ones who recover well because every golfer gets in trouble. I mean, every golfer gets in the woods. Every golfer hits it in the water every now and then. The really great golfers recover well. And so I brought my golf club today. And the only thing that Bubba Watson and I have in common is that we both hit the golf ball left-handed. Some of you remember 2 years ago he was in a playoff at the Masters. He hit on number 10. He hit into the woods, deep into the woods. They said, there's no way. There's no way he's going to do this. He hits that ball, and they've shown models of it. It comes out, curves, like mine do when I don't intend it to, but it curved, went on the green within feet, and he won the Masters. Amazing. Amazing. Learning to recover. Learning to say, God, I messed up. Life is about recovering. Coming back. Being renewed. Renewed and strengthened. Well, I didn't say all of that to the couple, but God seemed to use it to help us connect. Then we got back Sunday, and Monday we had Martha Copeland's memorial service. Some of you were here. Martha and Ted Copeland, wonderful members of Trinity Methodist Church. Ted was the chief of surgery at Chan for a number of years. And Martha has been battling cancer for the last 5 years. Heroic. Down to earth. The most transparent person I've known who's facing the end. And she would call me and say, Dan, I want to talk to you about my funeral, my memorial service. I know what hymns I want. I want to talk about the scriptures. Who's going to speak? Who's going to do what? I'm going to be cremated. I don't think I'm going to be here very long. Amazing. Amazing. To me, it was amazing. Went into hospice. We would talk about all of these things. And I said, Martha, here's a scripture that you might like. It's Isaiah 40:31. She said, I love that scripture. I want to use it in my service. They who wait upon the Lord shall what? Renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And Martha did that throughout her illness. And we knew, she knew in the depths of her being, that the moment she passed, she would mount up with wings like eagles. She would run in God's grace and in God's presence and not be weary. She'd walk. And I pray that every one of us here have that same assurance. Because when we have that assurance, it frees us to serve, to give, to be in ministry, to be about justice, to be about correcting wrongs. Because we belong to the one who is a God of grace and a God of justice. In Wednesday, we had a planning meeting for this upcoming Trinity Foundation, Trinity Endowment luncheon with Troy Holloway. And if you haven't signed up yet, please call the office this afternoon and make a reservation for the luncheon this Wednesday. It'll help Trinity position itself for mission scholarships and other things. And then yesterday, Saturday morning, we had the memorial service for Daniel Mako. Many of you know Linda Grover, Dan Mako. Their 30-year-old son passed away. And Linda, the mom, spoke yesterday. God gave me a poem. I made that a part of it. But she spoke and was amazing. Because Daniel in China, was teaching English lessons to Chinese. He took his own life. And Linda just hit that straight on. She said, many of you know that our son Daniel took his own life. And we would ask why. But nobody ever knows why. When you ask the question why, it doesn't go anywhere. You just can't go there. He was happy. He was teacher of the year. His students loved him. His colleagues loved him. We don't know. And you probably know others whose lives ended that way. You don't know why. God, well, I'll let Daniel tell you. When Daniel was 5 years old, he was a premature baby, but he was 5 years old, an amazing child. He was in Sarasota. They were at a hotel, and there was this fountain, sort of like the fountain out in our memorial garden. And Daniel, 5 years old, looked at his mom and dad and said, Mom, there's the meaning of life. Like the water, we come from God, we live our lives, and we fall back into God. Isn't that priceless? What a gift. What a gift to the parents. She quoted him. I quoted him. And I noted that it's the same thing Paul said in our scripture. In God, in whom we live and move and have our being. As the psalmist says in 139, there's no place we can go that's outside of God's presence. You go to the farthest reaches of the sea, God is there. You go to the highest heights, God is there. We go to the deepest depths. Even in darkness, you are light to me. In God, in whom we live and move and have our being. And what we want people to know is to recognize that. That God is all around them. And that God can be within them. And dwell within us. So, that's a week in the life of a minister. So I ask you these questions in summary. Are you working hard at your relationships? If you work it hard, it's easy. If you work it easy, it's hard. With God, with others. Do you have time each day when you unplug? When you breathe in God? When you're still before God? It won't happen if you don't. Are you aware there's a raised creek everywhere? There's temptations. And if you're not wise about it, you will fall. But if you fall, there's recovery, there's forgiveness, there's renewal. Do you focus on your mistake? Now, on any given Sunday, 50 people can come out and say, a really nice sermon, Dan. One will come out and say, boy, you really missed it today. You know what I'm going to think about all afternoon? It's the human condition. 99 things right, one wrong. You focus on that. Let's all try not to do that. And are you tired or weary? You need to mount up with wings like eagles. Jesus knew we would be tired. And we would grow weary at times. And I bet there's some here today who are. And he said, all you are weary and heavy laden, come unto me, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. And he said, I'm going to give you sustenance on the way. So do this in remembrance of me. For this is my broken body, which is life for you. As you receive the bread, you receive me, and as you receive the cup, you receive me and my spirit, the cup of salvation. So all of you who are, if you're new, you don't need to be a member of this church, we welcome you to receive the gift of Holy Communion. And as I pray over the elements, I would ask several of you if you would come and to the stations and prepare to offer communion for all who would desire to come. Pray with me, though, as they come. Oh God, pour out your Spirit upon these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ. Let them be for us the nurturing, the forgiveness of our sins, the cleansing of our hearts, the recovery of our journeys when we've lost our way, that we might find our way back home to you in whom we live and move and have our being. And thank you that you never leave us alone, that your presence is ever with us. So help us to receive this gift, this cup of salvation, this bread of life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So would you feel free to come if you'd like to receive the gift of Holy Communion as Alice leads us in our closing song. This is my Father's blood, and to my lips it is. All nature sings and proudly rings the music of heaven. done a few minutes early. You can beat the Baptists to wherever you're going to lunch. That was terrible. When you get there, just open the door for them and be nice. Hey, don't forget Dorothy Benson back in the back. Swag. If you don't know much about swag, it's really a miracle. I mean, it's an act of... Well, here's an example of when you work hard at something and God's present, some amazing things happen. So stop by there and would you stand and receive the benediction. Now may the wonderful love of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus, and the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forever. Amen.
May God's blessings surround you each day as you trust Him and walk in His way. May His presence live in your and keep you from sin, growing peace with joy in love. Growing peace. Thank you.